Let's pray. Father, as we gather here today, as we celebrate the resurrection of your Son, we pray, Lord, that you'd speak into each one of our hearts, drawing us to you, converting us more and more into the ways of Jesus. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. Amen. So it was Easter morning, and my sister and I, we got up early because we wanted to see what the Easter bunny had left us. This was not last year. And after finding our Easter baskets, we started searching for the Easter eggs that were usually hidden throughout the house. And we found a couple of them pretty easily, but there weren't very many this year. We looked everywhere, and there didn't seem to be any more eggs. And so disappointed, we decided that we'd wake our parents up and said, "Hey, you know, Easter Bunny didn't leave many eggs for us this year. What happened? Why are there so few eggs?" Now, my mother, and I don't know how she knew this, she was certain that Easter Bunny had left more eggs than that. There's going to be lots of eggs as usual. So, okay, and so she encouraged us to go, you know, go and search a little harder. You know, they've got to be there somewhere. And so we did. We went searching everywhere. We went under the furniture, in the furniture, everywhere we possibly could. But there were no more Easter eggs. And then all of a sudden, we saw our Siamese cat with an egg in his mouth. And he was running toward the kitchen. And we followed him. And it turned out that he'd been burying the eggs in his kitty litter. Well, he couldn't be too disappointed after that. But for a while, it did seem as if the joy of Easter was being stolen from us. You know, today, Easter means a lot of things for people. It means hunting for Easter eggs. It means wearing special clothes. It means attending a church service like this one. It means feasting with your friends and family. But like the cat that attempted to steal our Easter joy, you know, these traditions can actually steal the true meaning of this day from us. Easter offers humanity the greatest hope it has ever known, but it's so easy to be distracted by everything else. And so let's see why this is such a great hope for us as we turn in our Bibles to Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. So it's that gospel reading that I just read, Luke chapter 24, and we're looking at verses 1 through 12. So more than 2,000 years ago, and think about this, this is real human history. You know, we're not reading a myth, we're reading real human history. More than 2,000 years ago, three women, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James, went to the tomb of Jesus. It had been the third day since he'd been crucified. And they were carrying with them spices to anoint his dead body. Now, after the crucifixion, Jesus' body was being prepared according to a particular Jewish tradition, which took place in two stages. And so we have to remember, Jesus was Jewish. He lived within a Jewish context, and they were following Jewish ways. And so the first part is that the body would be carefully wrapped with spices and linen and then placed on the shelf of a cave. And then after the flesh had decomposed, a year or so later, the bones would be collected, folded, and stored in an ossuary. And if you go to Jerusalem today, you can actually find these tombs that are filled with these ossuaries. Now, when the women arrived at the tomb, inexplicably, the stone had already been rolled away. And what was shocking about this is that the stone closing the entrance was large and heavy. It wouldn't be easy for somebody to do. So how did this happen? Well, the women then walked in, and to their surprise, they found two men that were dressed in dazzling apparel. Now, throughout Scripture, and it's interesting how often you see this in Scripture, clothes, the things that people wear, carry with it a whole lot of significance. So you remember Joseph in his multicolored robe, you know, and that represented the greater love that his father Jacob had for him. And in Revelations, you remember those who survive the tribulation wear white robes representing their new spiritual state because they've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. And now here, the dazzling clothes worn by the two men represent the glory of heaven. These two men were angels, not just humans. And filled with fear, the women obviously recognized this, and it says that they bowed their faces to the ground. Now, the angels had appeared to help them interpret that moment, what they were experiencing then. You know, sometimes events in life are just too complex for us to understand them. You know, we need spiritual guides to help us. At critical moments in Jesus' life, angels appeared to give meaning to the events that are unfolding. And so we find that at the birth of the incarnate Son of God. We find it at his ascension in heaven, an angel appears. And here we have it at his resurrection. Now, in the normal course of life, we don't experience resurrections, do we? It's not part of our daily experience. Resurrection, therefore, surpasses our comprehension. We don't understand that as human beings. It just doesn't make sense. And at that moment, nothing short of the resurrected Jesus appearing could convince the women that Jesus had actually rose from the dead. Nevertheless, the two angels provide an explanation of the empty tomb, and they said, "Why do you seek the living amongst the dead? He's not here. He's risen." Now, what was the women have thought? It does say that they remembered the things that Jesus said, but did they really understand that he'd risen? And how ridiculous their testimony then seemed to the apostles later that day, even though Jesus himself had alluded to his resurrection several times with them. Now, Peter seemed to be convinced at least a little bit, enough to run to the tomb to find out what happened. And he discovered that the tomb was empty, just as the women had said, and there was only the linen cloths. And again, look at the significance of clothes again, this time indicating not a body stolen because a thief would not have taken off the linen cloth, but a body that has rose from the dead. Well, later that day, Jesus himself would appear to them, and their doubt would be turned to faith. And in an instant, I mean, imagine this. You know, after you this experience, their worldview would have changed because now they had to incorporate resurrection from the dead. Resurrection from the dead became possible in a way that they'd never imagined before. It changed their lives, and it should change our lives because the resurrection is the hope of our world. It's a hope that our world is desperately searching for. You know, we walk out of these doors and we walk in secular society, a world that doesn't know the Lord, doesn't know Jesus. There's something dark and broken about it. You know, and people understand this. You know, we have only to look at the events in Ukraine or the shooting in New York this week. A new Batman movie was released in March that particularly depicts this darkness in a way that captures the aching in people's hearts today. The Batman is the story of three orphans: Catwoman, the Riddler, and Batman himself. And they live in Gotham City, a city that where it continually is dark and where rain never ceases. It's a city filled with crime and corruption, where those who are supposed to be trustworthy end up being corrupt. And so in contrasting ways, each of these orphans seeks to take revenge for the scars left by the hardships and abuse that they faced in this broken world. But the movie ends in an interesting way, and it's worth it just for this ending to see. Batman realizes the futility of trying to overcome the scars of the past by seeking revenge, And rather, he says, one must find hope. One must find someone who will offer hope. Hope truly is the longing of our world. And that hope is found in Christ alone. So what is the hope offered by the resurrection of our Lord Jesus? Well, first, it's the hope that comes from realizing God has not forgotten our world. You know, so I was reading about a man in Great Britain, and his name is Don Day, and he was a very rich man, but he decided that he wasn't going to leave his fortune to any of his children. They were estranged from him, and he was determined they're not going to get a penny of this. And so with the help of a lawyer, he devised a sophisticated will that ensured his children would receive absolutely no recourse and would be incontestable. The resurrection of Jesus represents the complete opposite of that. It's the fulfillment to restore God's love to a human race that had rebelled against him. In the resurrection, rather than holding back the riches of his power and his glory to an estranged people, he has made them inheritors of all riches. You know, who ever heard of leaving a great inheritance to somebody who hates you? But that's what God has done. Romans 5:10 says, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by death, the death of his son. And it's the same sentiment that Jesus offered on the cross when as he looks upon those who had crucified him, those who mocked him, those who tortured him, and he prayed to the Father, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And so hear these words today. You are loved and accepted just as you are. You don't have to become perfect to get right with God. God has demonstrated that he's faithful to you. You may have people in your life who've been disloyal, maybe even those who've betrayed you, but God has stood by you no matter what you have done. And that means that no matter what you've done, you have hope. And that means no matter how grim the prospects of this planet look, there is hope. And that's why followers of Jesus are always proclaimers of hope. We know how the story ends. Second, the resurrection represents the hope of eternal life on a new world. You know, living forever is something our society really desires, doesn't it? I mean, none of us want to grow old, right? You know, we all want to live forever. But can it be achieved apart from Christ? So here's the best our world can offer us. So there's a company in Scottsdale, Arizona called Alcor Life Extension Foundation. You may want to write this down. And it believes one day science will have the technology to reverse the aging process. So they offer people the opportunity to have their bodies frozen in a large metallic cylinders until the day we have such technology. And some life insurance policies will even pay the $200,000 price. 1,500 people have chosen to engage in this way to end their life. But is it really the hope that humanity is looking for? Karen Healy's book, When We Wake, was published in 2014 and explores the promise of cryonics. That's the science of preserving the body through cold temperatures. Set in Melbourne, Australia, a 16-year-old girl named Tegan Olietti dies suddenly and awakes 100 years later to find out that her body had been cryonically frozen. And she is the first person to successfully revive. Well, it turns out that being revived in a world where your friends and family no longer exist isn't quite what she thought it was going to be. Rather than freeing humanity of bad news, it merely brings new problems. Now, by contrast, the resurrection of Jesus is not a strategy to evade death by reversing the aging process. It's the defeat of humanity's greatest enemy. Today, no matter how powerful you are, no matter how rich you are, you might be a mover and shaker and all these things, you will inevitably face death. And there's no way around it. Death is the great equalizer. Death is the thing we all have to face. But in the resurrection, Jesus has provided us with a path forward. The Bible promises eternal life on a new earth where there's no more pain, no more sorrow, no more suffering. Here's how Revelation 21 describes it. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. And neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. Third, the resurrection provides hope even in this lifetime. See, it's not just about something to look forward to. It's about how we live today. In the victory of Jesus over death, the power of God has now become available to us. Prior to the coming of Jesus, human beings existed in a material world. And all we knew is what we could see with our eyes. That's all that was possible. Whatever we see, that was all there was. But the resurrection opens to us the kingdom of God, a kingdom that is not bound by the physical laws of the universe, a kingdom with unlimited resources. In his kingdom, God can make human beings rise from the dead. And if he can do that, then he can resurrect us from anything that has a hold on our lives. We don't have to be captive anymore to anything. We no longer have to live in worry or anxiety. We can put our trust in the one who conquered death. What an amazing hope the resurrection of Jesus offers humanity. It's an incredible hope. So how can we partake of it? Well, after Jesus' resurrection, he gathered his disciples in Galilee. And he said this in Matthew 19:20. He said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you." In other words, we respond to the hope of the resurrection by becoming disciples of Jesus. Now, a disciple is someone who follows Jesus, not merely someone who believes he is the Savior. In the book of James, chapter 2, verse 19, we read, "You believe that God is one. You do well. Even the demons believe and shudder." And what James is getting at is that faith is not merely an intellectual assent. Oh, I believe that, you know, in Jesus. But it's giving our whole heart and life to him. A disciple is someone who abides in the teaching of Jesus, not merely someone who once walked down an aisle or raised their hand or got baptized. It is someone who seeks to mold his or her life after the way of Jesus. As a disciple, we live every moment in the presence of God because we've been given the gift of the Holy Spirit. And we wait for him and we live the life that he has given us. Are you a disciple of Jesus? Then bask in the hope you have. Don't live in worry and anxiety anymore. Lay those worries and concern at the feet of Jesus. He created you to be set free. And if you're not a disciple, then Easter is the perfect day to change the direction of your life and commit to following him. The resurrection of Jesus is the hope of the world. Lay hold of that hope today. Let's pray. Lord, what an amazing thing you have done for humanity. What an amazing thing that in resurrecting your son from the dead, you have provided us with the way to live a new kind of life, a life in the kingdom of God. For those of you who have made the commitment to be disciples of Jesus, I just want to encourage you to just take a moment and reflect on anything that just overly concerns you, that creates worry and anxiety in your life. And just lay those at the feet of Jesus. If you're the situation of your life isn't going well, I just invite you to just hand it over to him. Ask him to do the impossible. Trust and believe. And for those of you that aren't disciples, but want to be today, I just invite you to come before him today and just tell him that. Tell him that you've been going in the wrong direction of your life and you now want to follow Jesus. Make a commitment this day to follow him. Thank you for hearing the faithful prayers of your people. And we just pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.